I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 98 of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers, and it is spring out there, believe it or not, and we are talking about spring cleaning and entertaining. This is one of those more than Mom Hour themes that we do every now and then, where we talk about stuff that's maybe not just about motherhood and parenting, but, I don't know, stuff about ourselves and our homes and our hobbies and what we like to do.
Life outside of kids.
Life outside of kids. It really does exist. Before we get into the episode, I want to talk about our top of show sponsor, and that is Plum Deluxe Teas. So if anyone's been following this podcast for a while or the blogs, the various blogs I've done, you know that I'm a big tea drinker, and I really love the specialness of having kind of like a new selection of tea to try out every now and then. So I was really excited to find Plum Deluxe. That's deluxe with an E. They have a Tea of the Month subscription. So get this. For just $10 a month, you receive a hand-blended, all-organic, loose-leaf tea that they choose for you, kind of according to the season, and send to you. And Tea Club members also enjoy benefits like gift swaps, free shipping on all purchases, and access to a great tea community. And I know, like tea drinkers, we are kind of different people, and and I mean that in the best possible way. So this is a great gift, Mother's Day gift. It would be fantastic for that. Hint, hint, anyone who's listening. So check out plumdeluxe.com. Remember, that's deluxe with an E. plumdeluxe.com/tea to join the club. If you join and you give them our name, you'll get a special deal. And Sarah will tell you about that in a second. But one thing I really loved about this company, and I really, really love their Mindful Morning Breakfast Blend, which I've been sipping on every morning.
I just like the sound of that. I would like a mindful morning.
Well, honestly, it's kind of like it's a breakfast tea, but it's a blend, and it's really interesting. It's not kind of your typical boring, you know, just plain black tea. It's got like a really, it's like a kind of a creamy, warm feeling to it. It's the only way I can put it. I've really been enjoying that a lot. All of their teas are handmade. They source all the ingredients. They make the recipe themselves. It's all organic and fair trade. They have caffeine-free and herbal teas as well. So it's really cool, and I really encourage you to check it out. Sarah, can you tell them about the special offer?
Yeah, absolutely. But first I wanted to say, I just love also how, like you said, community-minded a tea company can be. Their Facebook page is amazing. Like, honestly, you can tell that there is a community of people who not only like tea, but are supportive of some of these things like sourcing fair trade ingredients and just building community. It's just amazing. So if you want to join the Tea Club, that's the monthly subscription, join by May 1st and you will get a free bag of self-care tea, which I love because moms need self-care in your first packet. So just put the Mom Hour in their little how did you hear about us box when you sign up, and that bonus will be added when your subscription begins.
So yeah, that's awesome. And I tried the self-care tea and it's really good too. And very kind of comforting. So yeah,
I love it. Okay. So it's Plum Deluxe, deluxe with an E, plumdeluxe.com/tea.
And nice just Mother's Day gift for yourself.
Love it. All right. Well, I have a quick announcement before we get into our spring updates and spring cleaning and entertaining. And that is just a reminder about our Mother's Day challenge. You guys have heard us talk about this before, and the letters are continuing to come in. But if this happens to be your first time listening, we are collecting your handwritten notes and cards and letters addressed to a fellow mom who might need encouragement. So it's kind of an anonymous or an imaginary recipient in that you're saying, you know, dear mom, hey mom, going through a tough time. I haven't even updated you, Megan, because I was gone last week, but I came home to a mailbox full. You know, there's some really beautiful letters written for tough situation, you know, people going through a hard time in their marriage or just all kinds of things. And then there's also just really uplifting notes of encouragement. So there's something about handwriting and seeing somebody's handwritten words that's so much just more meaningful, I think, than tweeting it out or whatever. Yes. So, as we get closer to Mother's Day, our plan is to share these with our community on social media, reading them on the podcast, hopefully even having some special guests read them on the podcast.
Yes.
That's a little teaser.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So get them in, postmark it by May 1st, or you guys know us, May 5th. I mean, Mother's Day is May 14th this year. So it's actually a little, it's I think the latest it can be, I think. So we've got time. So if May 1st comes around and you're listening to this on May 3rd, just jot a note down.
Just
and
throw it in there
the
anyway.
You can find
it's
our really, address.
It's making my day every time I see these, by the way. So, everyone, thank you so much for sending them in.
It's really, really amazing. Okay, so head to themomhour.com. When you're there, you see a little Mother's Day challenge badge in our sidebar. Click that, and that's where you get our mailing address and any other details you might need. So again, send those in by May 1st. We read every single one, and we will be sharing them. We've shared a couple as teasers, but we will be sharing them lots more as we lead up to Mother's Day. So thanks, Yay. You guys. It's been really great. So, okay. So I've outlined, shocker, I have outlined our show today.
What?
But I thought we'd spend the first little bit talking about this idea of spring cleaning and also spring home updates, because the weather gets warmer. And we talked about this around the holidays, how, you know, seasonally it's fun to update the decor. But let's start with the cleaning. Well, no, let's start with spring. So,
okay, let's just talk about spring in general.
We live in very different parts of the country. So I'll kind of tell you where what spring is like here right now. We had in Southern California an extremely gloriously wet winter, which we've really needed. We've been in a drought, and I'm having flashbacks to my high school years, because the last time we went through a drought and then the first very wet winter was when I was in high school. And I'm remembering things that happened. Like, there's something called a super bloom, which is literally like the hillsides are bright yellow and orange. So all of these wildflowers that you don't even see when you're in a drought, like they don't bloom at all, are all of a sudden. It's amazing. I should try and like find a photo roundup in the LA Times or something and share it in the show notes. It's, if you haven't been, if you're not a California person and this is off your radar, it's extraordinary. People are going on hikes. And so there's definitely spring fever in California because we actually got enough rain to make spring a thing and not just a warm up.
No, that's great.
So I've been wanting to have the windows open more. And I know everyone's laughing because we don't have a cold winter, but there's a warm up and we're not having as much rain. So I don't know. It just feels like everything's in bloom. It's funny. The previous owner of our home was really into gardening, and there's little like surprises left over from, like, things will sort of pop up. And I admit, I don't know a lot about, especially flower gardening. I know a little bit about like vegetable planting, but things like bulbs will pop up that I didn't know were there. And this is a really nice surprise. And it's from, you know, years ago, because this is like our third year in the house. So that's really fun. My jasmine on my front walk is in bloom. And any California people who know what jasmine smells like, it's like the best smell ever. So I'm feeling happy about spring. And it's because we had a wet winter. So that was good.
This time of year for us is like the you have no idea what's coming time of year. So late March to really late April, really anything could happen. So everything kind of smells muddy, because even when there's a cold day, the next day it's going to thaw, and you know, it's just kind of in between and everything's kind of mucky. But it could still snow. Yeah. It could still freeze. So you really can't make plans. And right this time of year, I am obsessed with the temperature. Like, the first thing I check in the morning before I get out of bed is the weather app, just to see what it's going to be. And then I find myself almost paralyzed by especially footwear choices. Because I don't want to be cold, but I can't decide if I want to wear boots, you know, then I'll be really warm. But what if I'll be too warm? And do I want to bust out, you know, my summer shoes, but it's mucky. I mean, I am all over the place. And it's so bad this year because I work for the radio station now. So every morning for 3 hours, I announce the weather. Like every 10 minutes we talk about the weather. And the funny thing is they do the weather, like the real weather guy does it in the middle of the night, like at 4 a.m.
Okay.
So by the time I have the weather report in my hands at, say, you know, 8 a.m, sometimes it's different. Like I'm looking outside going, but it's sunny and it says clouds. And so I'll argue, my personal style on the radio is that I'll just argue with what we have, and I'll start reading it and then be like, nope, that's wrong. I'm looking outside and it is raining and they said it wouldn't rain or whatever. So it's kind of fun. I get to be like a little bit contrary.
Which you love.
I love it. Yes. Contrarian is my
arguing
thing.
With like arguing with authority. Facts.
Yeah, exactly. But the one, like, just like you, so I'm not the best gardener, and I don't do things like properly prepare my flower beds and stuff. I usually just kind of wing it as much as I can without having to do a lot of work. So things randomly, this is the time of year where flowers start randomly popping up. It's like the perennials. I didn't ever get around to actually doing anything, but I'm not actually actively growing them. They're just there.
Yeah.
So my yard has got daffodils and tulips and crocuses all starting to pop through, but there sometimes is snow around them. It's so odd.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how it feels here right now. I have the windows open every chance I get. I get really grumpy right now when it drops below like 50 degrees.
I remember that
because
so well.
It feels wrong.
Yes, yeah. From my Chicago days. I just remember looking at actually the national weather map, because that was back when you looked in the newspaper. I would have the Chicago Tribune.
Oh my goodness.
And I would look at the national weather map and I'd be so mad that like places like New York and DC and, you know, other places that have legit winters were warming up.
Right.
And it would be like 22 in Chicago. That was April was a bleak month for me.
Wow.
In my Chicago winters.
Yes. And sometimes it's great. Sometimes it'll be a month where, you know, but like this time last year, there was a huge snowstorm. So I am not holding, I'm not getting too excited. Although right now it's so funny. I'm looking over the top of my mic and there is a TV screen and the weather just popped up on the screen.
Funny.
And it says it's going to be 75 and sunny like middle of next week. So I'm like, oh, yes,
that's amazing.
What I live for right now.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm very lucky here because we're just temperate pretty much all year. But spring, you can guarantee it's not going to be too chilly or too hot. So it's just 65 to 75 pretty much all the time. Well, that's fun. This makes me really want to enjoy spring. One other thing that's happening in my yard that I'll mention is my lemon trees. You've been in my yard. Remember the girls climbed over the lemon trees?
So drool worthy. I couldn't get over your lemon trees. Like I was really kind of obsessed with them.
This is again our third season. And the first year they produced these really big but not good lemons. Like they were all pithy and dried out inside and they were humongous. It was like mutant lemons. And then last year they were pretty good. And this year they're amazing. And again, I don't know why other than it has been much more normal for rainfall, but I have more lemons than I could ever do anything with. So if any listeners are, you know, experts
in the area and
want
to drive by,
by my house, Katie, are you listening? You can have all my lemons. But yeah, I know people have said they've made homemade limoncello and I'm not a big like lemon.
I made lemon curd a few years ago.
Oh, I remember
it's not that.
That
hard.
You okay. We'll link to that.
Yes. Post.
Okay.
It was time intensive, but honestly I got so much lemon curd, really more than I think my family would ever eat unless we slapped it on pancakes like every day.
Right.
So yeah,
right.
It's great. It tasted really good.
I love it. Okay, well, let's talk spring cleaning, which is kind of where I was going with this, because is this even a thing anymore? Like, set us up with your favorite episode, your favorite scene in the Little House books, which
of course,
I think you've mentioned
before. Little Town
before.
On the Prairie. I've talked about this a lot. It's Little Town on the Prairie where Mary goes off to the school for the blind and Pa and Ma just, because this is what they did in those days, leave the kids at home for like a week. So Laura is a teenager. Had Grace not come along? They took Grace.
No. Oh,
it was just Laura and Carrie.
Yeah.
They took Grace with them. So it was Laura and Carrie were left on the homestead for a week on their own. And they decided to do the spring cleaning while Ma and Pa and Grace are gone. And much, you know, chaos ensues and there's some messes and
they
have to take out.
Doesn't one of them get black in the stove?
Yeah. Like, the stove black.
Yeah.
It gets somewhere. And it like falls on the ground. I can't even remember now what happens with it. It gets on something it's not supposed to. I need to go back and read this evidently. They have to take out the straw ticks and like take out all the old musty straw and replace it with fresh straw and
air it all
out. Those things. Yep. Anyway, so that gave me a very romantic idea about what it would be to do a spring cleaning. Now, in 2017, it is not quite as romantic. I did not do a big spring clean last year. I did the year before. I also have not had a cleaning person come. And just like 2 years ago, I had not had a cleaning person for a while.
Right.
And then last year I did. So like it really never got bad enough that I needed one. But then this, I have not had a cleaning person since before Christmas.
Right.
And it's also been a very, very busy time for me. And so there are certain things that have just been left undone for so long now that I really do feel like I need to do a deep clean.
Yeah.
Is it a thing? I don't know. We don't live the same. We don't have like fire, you know, coal stoves inside the house anymore. And most of us don't have like heavy draperies everywhere. It's just different.
Right. It is different. But I think also there's probably some regional elements is what I meant to say this too, because when you've winterized your home and there's things that are, you know, a certain way during the winter, you really are sort of making updates to your home for spring. And for me in California, that's just not the case.
Well, and there are things you can't get to when it's cold and snow snowy out, and that, right. you know, if anything involves being taken outside or like windows, you really can't right. do those so much during the winter. So there's, to me, there's something psychologically cleansing about yeah. the idea of a big spring clean.
Yeah, no, I agree. I want to point our listeners to that great guide you did on the Happiest Home blog a couple of falls ago. And it was for a fall cleaning challenge, but it's basically the same thing. It was a room by room or a zone by zone deep clean of your home with tips and products. And it was really, really well done. So we will link to that. And if people need sort of tips by going room by room, if you want to. From my end, I have never been big on big deep cleans, but again, I think some of that is regional where I live, and some of it is season of life. Like, it's not really possible with our little kids to set aside an entire weekend. I feel like we kind of did that more when, before kids, you know, did like a whole bunch of big projects, but I definitely feel motivated to seasonally like change out my decorations, open up the doors, spruce up the patio, make the outside look nice. So I feel like this spring for us, though, we have a lot, unfortunately, of like home repair issues going on. It's just minor.
Those are so unfun.
But it's not fun. And I feel like our spring cleaning energy is going to go toward those, unfortunately.
Yeah, all those necessary, but just like no one can actually tell it was done afterward. That's
right.
the worst thing.
And the
thing
money just
things.
Goes yeah. away.
The money is gone. And it's like you have a better driveway or yeah. something that yeah. no one cares about. Oh, my retaining wall yeah. is secure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. My roof isn't Great. Leaking anymore. Like, awesome. Actually, as soon as we record, I have a plumber coming because there's water coming out, but very slowly from under my dishwasher. Boy. And even if it's a minor dishwasher issue, it's not pooling out. It's been so subtle that I don't think I even noticed it at first, but right. it's messing with the floors. So before I can replace a floorboard there, I have to figure out what's leaking. So the leak might be minor, but then I have to figure out a way. We have these nice laminate floors, and I have to figure out a way to have somebody just come and lay. We do have extra flooring in the garage, but I don't know anything about like how much is going to have to be ripped up and put back down. So it's all right. that kind of not fun. Not fun and not cheap stuff. But.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any, like, I know you do have some small, inexpensive ways to kind of add spring into your living space, even if you're not doing a big deep clean or some big overhaul?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said before, random flowers always start popping up. The nice thing about them being random is they don't really look good.
Yeah.
It's not
from
like
a landscaping perspective.
From a landscaping yeah. perspective, I can easily go around and cut a whole bunch of them because right. I don't feel bad losing them because they just don't look purposeful. So I do a lot of cuttings this time of year. I always swap out tablecloths. I start swapping out those sort of like Christmassy and fall and those really earthy smelling mm-hmm. candles for more light floral scents. I love to go around.
Place? Sorry, I interrupted. Do you have a favorite place to get your candles?
So I like to, there's a couple stores in our little downtown area that have the good soy candles
yeah.
That I really like. They've got the Woodwicks. You know, there's someone who's got the Woodwick ones when they make the sound when they.
Oh, I don't know those.
And then they're cool. They're like, you've probably seen them. They like crackle when they burn. So
this
those are fun. Although for me, those are more of a winter thing because they remind me of like a log in the fire.
Right.
And then the other ones, I just honestly, Target has a great selection and often on the clearance and you can get some really good quality candles and interesting scents. So I just, for me, that's sometimes just kind of a random thing. I'm just out and I'm like, oh, this is a pretty smelling candle.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a very impulse candle buyer, but I feel like the problem with that is that I vacillate between very cheap. I know like Michaels and Hobby Lobby often have really cool looking candles in that they'll be in like a kind of a fat glass, you know, like a jar looking thing. So mm-hmm. I sometimes am drawn in by the aesthetic and then the candle quality isn't great. I either don't care about the smell isn't great or it burns too fast. So yeah, I listen to the Girl Next Door podcast religiously, as you know, and they are big fans of the Bath and Body Works. I know people love all of those.
Oh, there are some scented. Of the scents scents that they have, like the orange, there's an orange smell that they have. I can't remember what else is in it. I love, I think it's bergamot. That to me is also more of a fall smell, but it smells so good, so delicious.
Yeah,
another place
this spring.
I really like to get candles is TJ Maxx because they will have really pretty like designer candles. Like I have a bunch of Calvin Klein candles, which is kind of silly, but they're good prices because it's TJ Maxx.
Great price.
And I like those too. And I also like, you know, I have a whole drawer full of linen tablecloths that are just the ones, you know, most, some are floral, some are just solids. But this time of year, I also like to go check out the, like just the vinyl ones they have at Target and other places like that. Cause they're fun. Like I just put one on my table the other day that's pineapples.
Oh, that is fun.
And it's just kind of like, it'll probably last a week or two because they start to get, they get like when the kids scrape their fork against it, they get holes and stuff. Or the dog likes to try to steal sandwiches off of it. Cause she's learned how to
rip
a tablecloth with her paws and pull it. And so the tablecloth gets all stretched out and holy. But it'll last a couple of weeks. And it's just a nice little introduction into the new season. So I've got one of those out right now.
And very, very affordable.
I love to go around and open up all the blinds. So I'm an open windows, open blinds kind of person anyway.
Yeah.
But then if anyone's trying to watch TV, they'll start putting them back down to kind of cut down on glare. And I'll just be like, nobody's allowed to put the blinds down this week. Like, no. Yeah. Yeah. I want sun, so.
Yeah, natural light is, I feel like I'm like that every day, opening the blinds as soon as, agreed. So candles for me too. I just got a new one that was a Mrs. Meyers lavender scent, which I, you know, you and I are both big fans of Mrs. Meyers for cleaning products.
The lemon verbena scent is so good too.
Yeah, I don't think I had ever had one of their candles. I'm trying to think if I have, and so I like it. I have a really shallow window ledge in front of my kitchen sink. There's something about like a window in front of your kitchen sink that's so homey and nice.
I know. I have one of those too, and it's got candles on it.
Yeah, and mine's not very deep. I mean, maybe 3.5 inches maybe. So it doesn't work for a big jar candle, but it works for like a little bud vase and like a medium-sized, you know, maybe like 3-inch diameter round candle. So I usually try to have one there, and I did just get a lavender scent one. But yeah, the only other thing I think that, you know, that doesn't cost a lot is just switching out if you have seasonal decor. We did a whole episode on this around the holidays about how fun it is to just redo your mantle or, and I'm not even saying buy new things, but take everything off, dust the picture frames, swap out the photos if you can or if you want to, and even putting things back in a different order or with one little different touch. I feel like it doesn't have to be spring, but it just can kind of, those things tend to have a trickle effect. Like if your mantle looks pretty and every time you walk into that room, it kind of brightens your day. And then, you know, then you think about putting a vase of flowers somewhere. And so, and then my other favorite thing is I'm a Trader Joe's shopper and they start having daffodils for, I think, seriously, $1.99 for a bundle. They're so cheap. And, you know, when you get them, they're all closed up, but they open up within like 6 hours. So it's like magic. Yeah. You just bring them home and I put them in a little jar. And it's happy and super cheap. So,
and I'll often walk into the grocery store and just grab one of those potted plants that's right at the front this time of year because it's like something for like a flower. Yeah. I want it in my house.
Have you ever had success plant like transferring those to?
I don't bother.
I know. Well, I one time have had success, so now I feel like it's like a challenge. Someone got me one from Trader Joe's, and I happened to have a big ceramic pot on our front porch that something else had died in, and so I there was nothing to lose because there was nothing in there, and I don't even think I had good potting soil. I just kind of dug around in the soil that was in there, put it in, and covered it up and watered it, and it's been like a year, and it's still there.
Maybe I should try. I usually just keep it in the little pot that it comes in. Until I don't know, I get tired of it or dies or whatever. I'm not the best with plants. You know, one thing I was going to say when you were talking about swapping stuff out on the mantle or whatever your space is, and I think we all have our space, right?
Yeah.
Like the place that we decorate. One thing that's made it really easy for me to do that is mine is a buffet. It's like a three drawer. It looks kind of like a bureau. And I just keep all of that stuff in the top drawer. So it never goes away. And so it's really easy. No matter what holiday is or season it is, I can come over and just kind of rummage through the drawer and be like, oh, here's that thing I forgot about. Or here's this. Here's a new candle, whatever. It's just all right there. It's not the neatest and most organized solution, but it means I actually do it and it's fast and easy. And that's more important to me.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great tip. We just got out our Easter decorations, and I'm sure I've repeated this when we did it over the holidays, but I'll just offer the tip again. When you get out, if you have seasonal decor that's stored away like for a holiday, when you get it out, the first thing to do is throw away anything you don't love. Somehow that stuff like sneaks back in.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
You know, something like Easter, which we talked recently about the Easter bunny and stuff. I feel like my kids are, they're still young, but they're getting older. And I just feel like I had a lot of really tacky, gimmicky bunny stuff. And not that, you know, not that a little bit here and there is not good, but I'd rather have no Easter decorations than ugly ones. So I feel like that's always a good tip, is to be ruthless and do it, because otherwise the kids get their hands on stuff, or you start to convince yourself that maybe I'll just put this wreath on the door anyway. But right. If you don't love it, if you don't get excited when you open that bin, chuck it. Just and part with it.
So many things are sort of like Easter decorations can be kind of vaguely spring.
Yeah.
And a lot of spring decorations are vaguely Easter, but you don't have to worry about having all this, you know, like a bunny barfed everywhere and then have to like clean it up the day after Easter.
Yes.
You can kind of like a few of those pieces go a long way. Then you just take those ones and put them in the drawer and leave everything
it's
else
so
out.
It's so true. And it's very similar to how I feel about Halloween and fall. And
I even do that for Christmas. Like a lot of the stuff I put out for Christmas stays out because it's really more winter than Christmas.
I feel like I have a better handle on it in the fall because I prefer fall decorations to a whole bunch of Halloween. So I just have like you said, I have a few things that come out for Halloween, but I feel like I don't really. All I have is ugly bunny stuff right now. It's a whole bunch of plastic bunnies.
Harder to do that in the summer because like the only holiday is 4th of July, and that's pretty specific. It really has nothing to do with summer.
It's pretty.
We'll take tips.
Yes. That's so funny. Okay. Well, any specific things you want to tackle this spring that we haven't already talked about?
So my backyard doesn't really exist. I have a patio between the back door and the garage. It's, I don't know, maybe 12 feet wide, and it's good sized and like the width of my house. And I really want to make that like an oasis because I live on a busy street. So in the front, you can hear the air conditioner unit, by the way, which
that's hard. We have part of our yard that we can hear.
And then also you can hear traffic from the street. And then on the side, there's an alley. So I really want to close it in with plants and make it really feel like a private space. And that's going to probably take me a couple weekends of just really hard work. But my thing is I got to get on it sooner. I often this time of year keep thinking like, I'll do it, you know, end of May when the weather's really good. And somehow, next thing I know, it's 85 degrees out and I've missed all the best weather and I don't want to do it. And the plants are all picked over. Right. So this year, it's got to be like next weekend.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to get on it. Yep.
Yeah. And you what can always you? Not use it if the weather's chilly in the first half of May, but at least it's
exactly.
Done.
But I'd like it just to be done.
Yeah.
It's just tricky here because you don't want to put stuff out too early because if it freezes, you know, you could lose some plants. But I really think that sometimes we're a little too cautious with that. And as long as you're not planting it in the ground, you're probably, this time of year, probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
So.
And you can, and you can always start with some non-planting if you really needed to. So.
Right, exactly.
Well, this is funny. Remember when you were at my house in early February and you looked up above? So above we have these built-in cabinets that our TV is also built into. And there's a ledge on the top. And I've always had a hard time with those high spaces where it feels like you should maybe have some plants or baskets, but I never know what to put up there. And so I had found these really cool kind of shadow box square frames and then a couple of other little accent pieces, a couple white vases and a couple little fake succulents. And I had them arranged up there and I really liked the way it looked. And you looked up and you were like, why is the paper that came inside those frames still in there?
I think I might have asked it in a I just kind of poked fun at you. I was nice paper.
Did. You're like, I love your house. I have one question for you. Okay, so that was the beginning of February. It is now the middle of April and it still looks the same. In fact, it looks worse because at one point I think the cleaners came and they dusted up there. So now I had it really arranged where in my mind it was like the perfect balance between random but also balanced, you know, like kind of symmetrical. And now it's just random. It's like there's a bunch of stuff up there, including three frames that aren't filled and they're square. So my idea was to pick some of my Instagram shots that maybe are a little artsier or cool looking and print like 5x5. I think the frames are 9x9. So to print maybe 5x5 or 6x6 Instagrams and kind of put them in these shadow box frames. So I'm declaring it here because I want to be able to share on our Instagram for the Mom Hour when this project is complete, because it's not that hard. It's just printing three photographs, taking the plastic wrap off these frames that have been up there since January and replacing. So that's my one goal. My other really simple one is wreaths for our front door. I feel like this is a challenge for me for two reasons. I have a black front door, which I feel like a lot of greenery doesn't look great on. I it's, I've seen, I have neighbors with the same black door, and it looks really pretty if you have whites or yellows that really pop, but it's sometimes right. hard to find. It'll be easier in spring than holiday, but it's sometimes hard to find wreaths that aren't a lot of green. And the green just doesn't stand out in the same way. And the other reason is it's a double door, like a French door. And it already has the nails for two little, so I almost need two smaller wreaths instead of one big one. But I've wanted I've wanted some for a while, and spring is a perfect time to find some like yellows or whites or something that would just be fake. And, you know, I'd probably put them out every spring for a few years. I've just kind of been in the market for them since we got this house. So that's my other, I would love to find that. So
I have to tell you quickly a funny story about seasonal wreaths.
Okay.
We don't really use our front door very much. It's kind of where the dog goes out, and there is a front yard, but it just doesn't get used as much as the back. So I just kind of forget about my wreaths. And also, I find that, especially living in Michigan, the season takes forever to be over, and then suddenly it's over. So like, it's winter, it's still winter, hanging on.
Right.
Yes, technically it's spring, but outside does not feel like it. And then suddenly it's like a month into spring, and I still have a Christmas wreath on my front door. So my friend Liz, who is an amazing, her house always looks appropriate. It's always decorated beautifully. Like, she's always on top of that stuff. Sent me a text last year, just kind of making fun of me for having a Christmas wreath still on my door, my front door, which is on the busiest road in town.
Right. Oh yeah.
And she passes
a
million times a day.
So you don't care because you don't use it.
I don't
care.
Everyone else in town sees it. She's like, "Hey, nice Christmas wreath. Ha ha ha." And I said something like, "It is a winter wreath. Thank you very much." And I think it was like the end of March or something like that. So John and I went and stole her wreath
off
their
awesome.
Front door, which was this beautiful, like, little Easter wreath with little, you know, eggs and stuff in. And we put ours on their front door and then waited to see how long it would take. And they also always park in the back. So it took a while. I don't think they saw it right away. And then they came over and swapped, got their wreath back and hung a wreath that they'd hung like a Bart Simpson off of, like took his arms and legs off and hung them from it. And we didn't see that for a couple of days because we just didn't notice. So anyway, it's just kind of this ongoing thing now, like the wreath wars. But
that is awesome. That is a great story. I love it.
So if I keep up with my wreath too much, no one will be able to make, you know, to do that to me anymore.
Yeah, at least yours has a story to it. Mine just needs some help.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We have another sponsor for this episode that I'll talk about for a couple of minutes, and then we'll transition into talking about entertaining, which is also fun for spring. So we are really happy to have Jet.com as a sponsor for this episode. Jet is a shopping site that makes it easy to save money on the stuff you buy all the time anyway. So they offer free shipping on orders over $35, which, let's be honest, it's pretty easy to
have your essential. It's very easy if you start
if you've ever been to Target and tried to spend less than that. They also offer free returns within 30 days and two-day delivery on thousands of items that you use all the time. A big selling point for them is that there are no membership or annual fees, which is awesome. So if you want to give them a try, there's nothing that you're, you know, signing up for that's locking you in. You get all of the benefits without paying that extra membership price. They also have great customer service, 24/7 available. So you and I got to try out Jet, and I had a great experience. I ordered several things that we use around the house all the time. We were out of our body wash in the shower that Brian and I use, and I was using the kids' stuff, which is just not really up to snuff for adult body odor. and it was really easy. I actually ordered from Jet on my phone, so their mobile app is really easy to use because I happen to be traveling and stuff, so that made it really easy. And within 2 days, free shipping and all of my essentials were on my doorstep. So,
it's so great. I ordered using the desktop because I just tend to be on my laptop browser because I'm always on my computer.
Yeah.
And it was also, you know, it's not always the case that places have as good of a website presence as a mobile app. And it was a great interface. It's really easy. You can, like, the way it's laid out, you can really see what products are available. You can also see the per unit or per ounce price.
Oh, I love that.
And then how much that price will drop if you order more of them. And they have a great selection of stuff. Like, I got a lot of the same things I would normally get, like Viva paper towels. I got toilet paper because I feel like we are always running out. And it's really good to have a backlog of that. Yep. But I also got like a huge thing of Mrs. Meyer's refill for some dish soap that I was about to be out of, and a few other little things that like I just need and I just need to have. And I saw them and there they were. And it was kind of like a reminder, like, hey, I need that.
Yes. So, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I got Lemishine, which I use for my dishwasher, and I have never found it in a bigger than a 12 ounce canister. But we use it with every, sometimes you can use Lemishine occasionally, but we actually have to use it pretty much every time for our dishwasher. Yeah. And they had a bigger canister, and I've never seen that at any other retailer. So that was a fun bonus. So yeah, super easy, shop on the go, on your phone, from your couch. And yeah, I had a great
No membership fee. It's great. Yeah. So there is a special offer for our listeners. So if you want $10 off your first three orders over $35, just visit jet.com and enter the promo code TheMomHour at checkout. Again, that's just if you want 10 bucks off your first three orders over $35, go to jet.com and enter the promo code TheMomHour at checkout. And of course, as always, terms and conditions do apply. So check out jet.com for more details.
Yeah, definitely head over there. I had a great experience and we thank them for sponsoring this episode. Okay, so we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about entertaining. And while entertaining can happen all year round, don't you feel like spring is kind of, there's a natural segue into kind of opening up your doors, literally and figuratively? I feel like,
I don't know how it is for you, Sarah, but I feel like this time of year, between like Christmas, between January 6th, say, when everyone goes back to school after Christmas, and like this time of year, I don't see anyone.
Yeah.
I don't go anywhere. I mean, it's different here because the weather.
Yeah. Yeah. It is different for you. But I actually remember that from my Chicago days.
Go anywhere. I don't see anyone. No one comes over. A lot of it's also that people are really busy with school and you have that long stretch where there's no breaks really. Yeah. So we've just been, it's like the grind has been going on.
Yeah.
Yes. And I feel like there's people I'm like, gosh, I haven't seen you in so long. And then I remember it's like this every year and pretty soon it's going to be better again. And so, yeah, even just like last week with the weather getting better and people getting back from spring break and stuff, it's like, oh my gosh, I see my friends again. They come over and we do stuff.
Yeah.
So yes, this is definitely the time of year for it.
Yeah. I agree. And even though we don't have the extreme weather changes here, I do agree. I want to make a case, and I think you and I can both agree, for moms who feel overwhelmed because your kids are really little and your house isn't the way you like it. I have always found that biting the bullet and entertaining, whether that means a get-together, a casual barbecue, or having people over for anything, entertaining before you're quote-unquote ready has always been a good move for me. And, you know, I can see how maybe the other side of this is don't stress yourself out. If this sounds like a nightmare, then don't. You're not obligated to throw a dinner party. However, I would encourage moms to sort of make yourself a little bit, step outside your comfort zone a little bit, because I always get so much out of throwing a get together, and my house does too, because I find it gets me in the groove to take care of all those little things like the picture frames that I haven't done. And while you might have to bust your butt for a little bit and kind of do some of the cleaning projects you've been leaving, you have those things to enjoy after the guests leave.
Yes. You know, there isn't that feeling before you have guests over where you like go crazy and maybe you have like 15 minutes for everyone that's going to get there and you just get to sit at your table with a glass of wine and enjoy what you've just accomplished
and
by cleaning your house.
Totally. And even if the party leaves you with a mess to clean up, it's usually a mess like dishes and spills on the
floor.
Yeah,
it's manageable.
But the things that you've done to make your home welcoming to guests, those little, the buffet top and the mantle and the little decorative spruce up, you get to keep enjoying those.
That's
so I'm just a
yours.
Huge encourager of do it before you're ready. Plan something, a casual barbecue or people you've been meaning to have over that you, you know, haven't gotten to know, and plan it out like 3 or 4 weeks. And then, you know, like if, you know, if the guest bathroom toilet doesn't work, you probably want to fix that, but you've got time. And I don't know, we have found as kids get older, it can be everybody can pitch in and get the house ready. And so I really enjoy doing that, you know, in the spring, in the fall, you know.
And I also want to say, like, and this is speaking as someone whose house has been in pretty bad shape recently, even if your house is in really bad shape, if you give yourself like a solid hour and then really be strategic about it, you're going to be fine. So you know, one thing, like, you don't have to worry about it being perfect. Invite the people who are closest to you or who won't care. Make it a small group. I know there are certain people who, in the way our house is laid out, is a little funny. The nicest bathroom by far is the master bathroom, and it's on the first floor. But of course, you have to go through our bedroom to get to it. But I often, that's the bathroom I clean, and I leave my bedroom door open, and that's the bathroom people use. And if they're close to me, they don't care. Yeah. I'd rather have them in the nice bathroom than stress out about this weird little powder room we have that's impossible to clean. And like, I just keep that door shut, or I make it the kids' bathroom.
Yeah.
And if I just hit that bathroom, make my bedroom look nice, you know, make the bed, put everything in the closet, whatever I have to do, get the kitchen and like those high traffic areas, just let that be good enough. I mean, your friends are there to see you. They really aren't there. Just make sure your house smells good and your surfaces are cleared off and people can move around and have a place to sit and people really will be fine.
I think it helps me sometimes to put myself on the other side and think about what I look at when I go into somebody's house. And it's not the floors. I really don't. I never look at somebody's. I might look at like what kind of floors they have because that's always interesting.
But you wouldn't be like, but I don't look if there's dust bunnies
or if the dog tracked in mud. I really don't. So I'm curious about how they decorate and what kind of throw pillows they like and what, you know, what is about their house that makes it their personality.
Open the blinds and let some light in and put a candle, light a candle, clean
the
toilet.
Them a glass of wine.
Exactly.
Yes, I totally agree. So that's our making a case for having a party. I'd love to hear if our listeners decide to throw a get together after listening to this.
Absolutely.
Let us know how it goes. I definitely want to this spring. So we thought we'd get into some specific products or tips or hacks, and we each have a few. Do you want to just take turns on this, Megan? We'll kind of offer up.
I'll just go first.
Okay.
I usually try to have something kind of special for the kids to do, especially if there are kids coming. I'm finding this. My kids are getting older, and you know, we have friends who have kids in younger age groups. It's really nice for them to have something to do. And I remember really appreciating that when people would go out of their way to have like even a special coloring book from the dollar store on hand for my little one. Maybe especially if there weren't kids in their same age range. So that's something like I try to have something a little special activities, new sidewalk chalk, art supplies, coloring book, even like a movie everyone wants to watch right now if the weather's bad, something to put on. And along those same lines, that also gives your children the, I guess, freedom to maybe put away those toys or supplies or whatever they really don't want a bunch of random kids playing with. That just kind of helps grease those wheels socially with them and gives them something to do without getting
it's so true
stuff.
Because you're not asking your kids to share their toys. You're actually providing something new that everyone is going to share, you know, even though it's at your house. That's a really good strategy, especially for, it is hard for kids to, you know, open up their own. They're not quite as generous intrinsically as we are. I love that idea. So
plus, let's face it. If the 3-year-old that comes over is going to break something, it's probably not going to be my stuff. It's going to be my kid's stuff.
Yeah.
So that gives them, you know, it helps respect their space as well.
I love that. Okay. Well, I love any product that helps keep beverages identified with their owners. And, you know, remember the little wine glass charms that were, I feel like they were kind of in a while ago more, maybe. I feel like
you want to hear something funny? I never took mine off. They're still like rattling around on my wine glasses. I think you're supposed to take them off and let the guests choose, but.
Yeah,
lazy.
I don't, to me, it doesn't matter. I get really anxious. This is going to sound dumb. I get anxious if I don't know which drink is mine. Like, I hate that looking around and if it's like a beer or a glass of wine. Like,
is that my lipstick?
Where did I set this down? But I feel like there's some cool, creative, different ways now. I don't have these, but I've seen really cute stemless wine glasses that have chalkboard, like a chalkboard square on them. You can chalk, write the guest's name. I've talked about it on this show, but before, I have a set of these wine glass writers. They're like a dry erase kind of pen, but it washes off easily with dish soap. And what I like about those is you don't need a stem to put, like the little charms usually work on a glass with a stem. These could work on a beer bottle. It could work on a pint glass. It doesn't work very well on plastic.
Good to know.
I'll link to them in the show notes. They're really cheap. They come in a 3-pack and they're fun. You can write the person's initials. You can get creative, write something
else. And when in doubt, you know, a solo cup with Sharpie works as well.
Yeah, solo cup with Sharpie works. I have enjoyed when people at casual family friendly get togethers have put out Sharpies or pens with the beverage cups, especially for the kids, because if the kids are, you know, and you can even Sharpie on a juice box or a pouch.
Absolutely.
So that's always, if you're the one hosting, just throwing out a Sharpie for others as people are serving themselves. So I'm kind of a sucker for any product that does that. But I will link to my wine glass writers in the show.
Have you tried those little gummy like jelly wine glass charms? I feel like they wouldn't stick on cold.
Yeah.
I feel like they would stick with like a dry red wine glass, but not like a cold white wine glass with condensation.
I feel like, I don't think I've ever owned them, but I feel like when I've used them, they've been hit or miss.
And if you bump them, they could fall off. Okay.
Just let us know, listeners, too, if you have a favorite drink identifier. And let us know if I'm crazy for really needing my drink to have my name on it at all times.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've got another one. So I live on an alley and near a busy street, and that's fine for my kids. They're old enough to kind of play in the alley and very safely. I mean, they know what to look for, and we're far enough back from the road that I don't worry anyone's going to fly around the corner off the main street and run them down in the alley. But they also have some common sense, and we often have friends over and family that have younger kids. So I actually bought a couple traffic signs. The ones I got from Step 2, and it's these little green, I'm sure you've seen them around. They're like, yes, these little green plastic men.
Yep.
And they're like leaned forward holding a flag.
Yep,
and it says,
I know exactly
slow.
What I mean.
And I've actually bought those depending on where we are. And I've put them in the middle of the alley. So if someone actually can't, they have to like stop. And then one of the kids will move it. But it just gives like everyone an opportunity to like see what's going on if there's little people running around. And then it allows my guests to relax a little bit. I mean, they're still close by. They're still watching their kids. But I feel like there doesn't have to be that one parent who the whole time has to be kind of running after their kid, running interference. Everyone can relax a little bit because we know that someone's looking out for the little ones. So that's actually been great. And people really do respect that. I think sometimes like it's that green, it's a kind of like a signal like, hey, pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, this activity here, and people really do slow down when we put those up. So we found those to be really helpful.
And I feel like that's one of those purchases that sometimes you put off because it feels like, well, I'm only going to use it two or three times a year, but it's so nice to have, you know, just to have in your possession. And that's such a smart tip too, because when you go to someone else's house, you don't know the traffic patterns as well. So I can
you
see
can
being,
take them.
Being, yes. Yeah, that's true. Or I was going to say being when you're the guest, it just would be peace of mind because you don't intuitively, like I intuitively know what's too fast to drive on my street. Like we, you know, it becomes part of your like car, you know?
Right. Yep.
But your guests won't necessarily. So if they have, it's just a little more peace of mind. That's a great idea.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Well, my next tip is for getting people out of the kitchen if you want to. Now, sometimes the kitchen is a nice gathering place, but if you don't want the entire party to stand in your kitchen the entire time, I have gotten creative with setting up a self-serve bar or appetizer station as far away as possible from the kitchen. You can't do it like at the end of the kitchen counter because people will still like drawn to the flame. They just end up standing right where it's in your way. And this, I guess, is more for when you're, you know, hosting a dinner or something where you've got to cook and stuff in the kitchen. But I think you can get creative with setting up those stations, even in parts of the house where you might not normally serve food and drinks or outside, but the farther, the better. And it really does work. People will go, you know how it works when people are socializing, they need a drink refill. So they'll walk over to wherever that is, or they need ice. So if you, when you do it, have everything that somebody would need, ice, a bottle opener, you know, garnishes if you're doing a bar, and then napkins and everything. I'll put a roll of paper towels and like wet wipes for spills so that all of that people are not wandering into my kitchen and into my pantry looking for stuff. And it really does work. Then the social activity follows the food and the drink. And, you know, if the goal is to not have people congregating in the kitchen, either because it's inconvenient or you just want them to mingle more, I found that really works.
That's a really, really good tip. Mine kind of also has to do with food and drinks, but in a different vein. So what I like to do when entertain is to keep the main meals really simple. If I'm going to impress, it's going to be with like a fun cocktail or a snack or a punch. We have different ones. Like we do this punch that's basically orange juice and Sprite, and then you put in a block of sorbet or sherbet.
Oh, fun.
I don't know. Is sorbet and sherbet the same thing? It's like that peachy, like multicolored sherbet.
I think that's sherbet. Yeah. I think there is a difference.
Sorbet is like the stuff that's like icy, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sherbet's like creamy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a gourmet. But so we just put a block of that and it makes it really foamy and the kids love it. And we have one of those like in one of those little dispensers. And then sometimes there's just like a fun drink that we're making everyone make, you know, mojitos or gimlets or something like that, that they don't have. It's something you maybe wouldn't just order yourself at a restaurant.
Right.
And then have a few little snacks that look really fancy and probably didn't take that long to put together, so that when people come, the actual meal itself is simple to put together. And so we often just do like a sandwich platter. We've done fun pasta with shrimp in it, which is really easy, but kind of impressive because it's got shrimp in it. Or, I mean, honestly, ordering pizza.
Yeah.
It's just like, I feel like if there's like one little thing I put some effort into that looks great and kind of impresses, I can really like lay off the rest of it. And then the most important part, when everyone's there and I want to enjoy them and enjoy their company, I don't have to think about the food so much.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. It's almost the entertaining equivalent of having a simple black dress and then fun accessories.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
You know, like have what you know and what's easy and then go crazy with the with the fun stuff. That's a great idea. Okay, well, the last thing that I was going to bring up is that hosting can be stressful on young kids. I have one kid in particular who likes his routine and for some reason has a particularly hard time when we host. He's fine about going out to other parties and going with the flow, but for some reason, us hosting a get-together is a stressor for Reed because, you know, you have all the prep where you're cleaning and you're getting ready when you're ignoring your kids or they're not getting the attention that they normally get in their home environment. I think that's what sets it off for him is he's at home, but
why isn't anyone talking to me?
Dad doesn't want to play cards with him and whatever. And then you have the time when the guests are actually there, which can be a little sensory overload for some kids or like you brought up the really good point about
space.
Yeah, kids sharing and mom and dad, again, aren't available to play with you or even maybe to support you in navigating things like, you know, sharing with other kids and all of that. So I think it can be pretty stressful. I think it depends on the kids and how old they are and your unique kids. But I did write a post a couple years ago around Thanksgiving with some tips for helping kids who have a hard time with this. And it was around Thanksgiving if you were hosting Thanksgiving, but all of the same things apply. And I'll link to it in the show notes. I won't talk about the whole thing. But a couple of the tips were, you know, use screen time wisely. I think sometimes the simple solution is to plug them into the iPad. But I have kids for whom that actually makes them way, way worse behaved.
Yes.
And when I unplug them and say, okay, now your friends are here, now it's time to socialize, it would totally backfire on me. So maybe you wait and you put on that coveted movie like you brought up later on, but you don't let them gorge on the iPad while you're clean, you know, while you're getting the house ready.
Like, so beforehand, because they're not going to be able to transition then into that chaos.
Yeah.
Easily.
So just being strategic about the screen time. And then, you know, if at all possible, make sure they know what to expect and just say, you know, our guests are going to be here. Here's what I expect while our guests are here. We'll have special time tomorrow. Or if you can build in a little bit of one-on-one time, you know, before leading up to the event. It's not easy. And I think it was very hard for me at certain times to parent during hosting an event. Like I felt like I had the entertaining part. That was kind of fun for me. But then to also support my kids' emotional needs,
right.
I just feel like it's hard, you know? So I'll link to that post. It has some more tips, but I guess I'm just saying I know it's hard. And I think with a little bit of forethought, you can kind of help kids for whom that's particularly difficult.
Yeah. Great tips.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so does that kind of wrap up this topic?
Yeah,
that was really fun. We really packed a lot in.
A lot in there. So this is a great transition to talk about something we've mentioned before, but I'm really excited to officially announce. And that is that the Home Hour podcast is back.
Yes.
It's back. Like
officially.
You can look in your podcast app, search for the Home Hour, and you will see episode 65, which aired last Thursday. And then coming up in a couple of days, you'll see episode 66, which will be the official relaunch. So what we've done, we've brought on two brand new hosts named Kirsten and Graham. They have a show plan for the Home Hour that is similar to what Megan, you did, only more focused in the area of actual home design, decor.
Yes.
Their tagline is design, DIY, and gracious living. And what they mean by that is everything that, you know, that falls under being, you know, a host and having a home, making it welcoming. So both the practical and tactical. They're going to talk to a lot of interior designers and, you know, real estate people, contractors, all of that nitty gritty home stuff, but also stuff like entertaining and creating a welcoming home. And they are moms of young kids like we are, or you are moving out of that phase, but their kids are more in my kids' age ranges. They have a fun backstory. They both have experience in TV and radio, so they're great on-air personalities, funny. They have a great chemistry together. They have been friends a long time. They remind me a little of us in that way because they live in different parts of the country, but they know each other really well. They have very different homes, very different home challenges. And so anyway, back in episode 65, which you can already run and listen to right this minute, I interviewed them as a way to kind of introduce them. And I really would like our listeners of the Mom Hour to give that a listen and listen to their first show, episode 66. If you're not into home stuff and you don't stick with it, we'll still love you. But as a favor to us and as a way to support our growing network, we would really love that. And they're also so eager to build a community of listeners the way that you and I have, Megan. So, you know, send them an email, follow them on Instagram and sort of cheer them on, you know, for us person with us, and I just am so excited for.
I'm really excited as well because I think that was kind of my initial sort of vision for that podcast. If for anyone who maybe does remember listening to it, and I'm sure a lot of people are like, "What are you talking about?" Yeah. The Home Hour was sort of my original podcast where I was doing mostly interviews about home life, and I think I said everything within your four walls, and for me that kind of meant family life and kitchen and everything else. And then when we started doing the Mom Hour, that kind of took care of that need,
right?
So, you know, it's such a nice compliment though, because while you and I love to talk about stuff like we did today, DIY and entertaining and stuff, we don't talk about it enough for people who really want to hear about it.
It's not our main focus, and like I laughed with them when I interviewed them that I like this kind of stuff, but I don't even have the right vocabulary a lot of the time.
Exactly.
Like when
I call to get
my floor repaired, I don't even know how to explain what kind of floors I have. And Kirsten has built her whole house from scratch and worked with a ton of contractors. Graham is in the process of decorating a quite large house that she ended up in after small space living. So they just have a lot more experience and a lot more, vocabulary. They don't have all the answers like you and I don't have all the answers. Yeah. But they're much more equipped than we are to talk about this every week. Some of their upcoming topics are really fun. The one that spoke to me is they're going to have an episode where they talk about what they loved about their grandmother's houses. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a way to, like, it was like so creative.
That just gives me the warm fuzzies.
I know. And so, so there's going to be practical, tactical, and also the warm fuzzies. And we are so excited for them.
We are. And just in general, I want to say too, we are growing our little network.
Yeah.
And the most important, it's going to be a very slow grow, because the most important thing to us is that every show we put out is this just gives you the same kind of feeling this show does. So whether, you know, the camaraderie and non-judgment, you know, non-judgmentalness and just like we're all in this together, you know, encouraging but not overwhelming.
Yeah.
Every show we put out, we want to have that same vibe. So it's going to take us a while, but I'm really glad to have everyone along for the ride. I think everyone who listens to the Mom Hour and likes it will get something out of every show we put out. And that's what I'm really excited about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we always love getting your ideas and suggestions. We got a great response. I did post about the Home Hour on Instagram and people were so excited. So keep talking to us. We host the Mom Hour together, but we are also running the Life Listen Network. So when you have ideas and feedback, you know, you guys know where to find us because you're our regular listeners. So once again, the Home Hour is back. Just look for it wherever you get your podcasts. And I, of course, will link to it in our show notes, which will be at themomhour.com.
And you can go to thehomehour.com if you like to do things with actual URLs anymore.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, thanks again to both of our sponsors, Plum Deluxe Tees and Jet.com. Go to our show notes to find those special offers that we mentioned from both of those great brands. Head to themomhour.com. This was episode 98. Can you believe it?
I know. I can hardly believe it.
And
100's coming up.
It is coming up. So head to the show notes, check out our sponsors, check out the Home Hour, and we will talk to you guys next week.